Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in once again to the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This episode of the show is brought to you by the very unique AtomicChild.com. This website is an artist-run brand focused on the great outdoors with the most unique designs on many different products. Search through the amazing apparel from the mind of owner Jimmy Bryant, who has been creating his own products to brands and band merchandise for clientele that way surpass your favorite blockhead. We're talking Norah Jones, The Grateful Dead, The Misfits, Michael Bolton, Train, Motley Crue, Counting Crows, and many more. Guys, check out the wide variety of apparel. Everything from stickers to water bottles to blankets to patches, pins, t-shirts, drinkware, socks, and so much more. Blockhead Nation, make sure you go to the link at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, or you can go straight to atomicchild.com, and let's make something awesome together. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Come to you through the raindrops of North Texas. This is your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. And guys, as you know, it's been one guest after another over here on the Blockhead Hour. I've been very blessed in the midst of all of this confusion with the COVID-19 outbreak to have several guests come on. Those that have come to my show, you've heard everything from jazz saxophonists to MMA fighters to a gentleman riding his bicycle across America to raise suicide awareness. And for the first time, we have a comedian and a well-known comedian on this show with me today. Somehow the podcasting gods continue to smile on me. Without any further ado, let's get into this gentleman now. I give you the one and only, the Z-Man, Mr. Chad Zumach with Sit Down Zumach Podcasting. Z-Man, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to compete with a guy who rode a bicycle across the country, but let's try.
Fair enough. Well, the truth is, if you go back and listen to the previous episode, Daniel Hurd with Ride with Dan USA has taken on a huge endeavor, and he's been on my show twice. He was a brother on my ship on the USS Pearl Harbor when we served in the Navy. So that's not meant to be competitive. It's just people are getting a lot of diversity on this show with people that have been coming on, and I'm very appreciative of the time that everybody's giving me. So to start off with, I know it's impossible to go through everything you've been through as a comedian, but for my listeners who don't know, could we probably break it down by decades and just say, how did you get into comedy? Where was your first stand-up? And then maybe 10 years from then, just kind of walk them through a brief synopsis of that.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
It was worth it.
And I started doing stand-up by itself in 2004 in Los Angeles. I was like more of a sketch guy. And then I got tired of just dealing with people in groups. So I was like, I'm going to just do this on my own. And I was in 2004. I moved to Los Angeles with a girl and we broke up. Deal with the breakup, I would just go to open mics. That's the only reason I got into it. And sure, 16 years later, here we are.
Hey, that works, buddy. And there you go. But I will say this, that somewhere in there, you went from comedy to being behind the mic and doing a podcast. Maybe you can walk us through before what got us to episode 200, at least a quick synopsis of that.
Thanks for listening, by the way.
You betcha.
I was in radio. I had a radio show in Cleveland for 3 years on WMMS, which is like a rock station. And it was a talk show from 3 to 7 drive time. And I always wanted to get into radio because I loved Artie Lang and Jim Norton, and I was a comic. So I was like, I want to be a comic on the radio. And luckily, I was opening for Daniel Tosh at Hilarities, and the program director was there one night, came up to me and said, you know, took my information. And then I think like 3 months later, he contacted me saying, hey, man, we're putting together this radio show. I haven't forgotten about you. Are you interested? I'm like, yeah, are you kidding me? That sounds great. And then we had a very successful show. It was like number one in every demo. And then from there, I got fired, and I just did podcasting because I had an audience. I just did it because podcasting started becoming a thing. Mark Maron was doing it, Bill Burr, you know, Rogan. And I just did it because I had an audience. And I just wanted to keep it going. So it started out with local comics, and then over the course of, you know, what, 8 years, I got national names, like big names, like Dan Soder, Jim Norton, Jim Florentine. You know, it was great to have Norton because he's the reason why I got in the radio in the first place. So that's why 200 was so special to me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of get my listeners an update, to get to episode 200 is a feat in itself. But as you guys just heard, he had one big name after another leading up to this time. I understand there was a lot of controversy in between there, but I understand most of that was triggered by people that are on Twitter who really don't matter. But I will get to this one. You got to episode 200, and it was just a great sit-down for my listeners to go back. They should go check out episode 200. Can you walk us through about how that roundtable went and just how you felt at the end of it, just to say you've hit 200?
Well, there's been so many inconsistencies with my podcast. You know, the one thing I've learned over the years is just be consistent and get it out regardless. And when I moved to LA, I joined the Comedy Pop-Up Network, and I forgot the guy who runs it, but his one thing was like, you have to be consistent. And he was right. And I saw the numbers grow just because I was consistent. And slowly but surely, I always say brick by brick, it just became something. I saw the numbers double and the guests got better. And when people ask me about podcasting, I take what was told to me, just stay consistent. And sure enough, people find you, you know, whether it's from a big time guest or just they're bored on the internet or something you're talking about. So
fair enough. I mean, that's what I've told people before is authenticity, consistency, and you're speaking to the choir on this one. Now getting to 201, you landed a huge name guy that I'll let you talk about everybody that's listening should be excited about this one. You want to talk a little bit about your friends from the Dukes of Hazzard stopping by for a minute?
Oh yeah. I was thinking of Sid Vicious.
Well, we'll get to him.
John Schneider. Yeah. From Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. I grew up, you know, I was an 80s kid. So as a young boy, I would watch Dukes of Hazzard on TV, and it was like a huge thing. I mean, I think in that conversation, I think he said something like 60 million people would sit down to watch Dukes. This was before VCR and TiVo. And it was just, you know, it's an iconic show. And, you know, he was an iconic character that, you know, 2020, people still know who he is. And the fact that I was able to have a podcast with him was cool because you watch a lot of these late night talk shows. They're all trying to get like Brad Pitt or, you know, Drake. They're not interesting to me. I mean, the guys who I grew up with are interesting to me, like Bo Duke. I was like, let's talk to him. And it, sure enough, it was a good conversation. And it's because I was interested. You know, if it was, I don't know, an American Idol winner or The Voice winner, I wouldn't give a shit. So,
I have to give you that. Yeah. And that's the thing about it is that, you know, we could get all hung up on chasing the almighty dollar and chasing the almighty big names that are out there. But when you start to build up your network and people that do care and keep coming back, you really don't need that at this point. You just got to enjoy the tribe that you have around you. But I thought that podcast really flowed well. So those that are going back to episode 200, check out the next one at 201. Now, I will give you one thing. The next guy that you had on, yes, was Sid Vicious. But if it makes you feel better, if I remember back in like 2016 or 17, Chael Sonnen tried to get on the air with Sid Vicious, and he didn't know if this was the legitimate guy. He couldn't get him on. So props to you for even getting him to come on. But as I understand, it was a little awkward, I guess maybe just the flow of the show at that point. Anything you can walk us through in that episode?
Well, yeah, if people don't know who Sid Vicious is, he was a professional wrestler, former WWF, WCW heavyweight champion. And so, Sid Vicious was like somebody I loved. I loved him as a kid. And so to have him on the podcast was intimidating, and he's an intimidating guy. So he would give you a couple, like, sometimes one-word answers, and it was just very awkward. And he's intimidating, you know? So I did my best. I didn't feel good afterwards, but people said it was a good episode. So I was like, all right, I'll just let it go and move on to the next one.
Well, that was definitely the, I guess, the shell shock that came with it. Holy crap, you get a chance to hear Sid Vicious talk. But you're right. Anybody that followed professional wrestling growing up as a kid, that's one of the reasons that I kind of wanted to ask you about some things on pro wrestling was because you used the acronym Z-Man. If I remember right, that was actually a tag team between Flying Brian Pillman and a guy named Tom Zink. And I used to watch those guys. So, yeah, I was big, you know, name being Brian Little, I loved Brian Pillman. But also like this other guy that teamed up with him. But are there, besides having Sid Vicious, are there any other possible guys, if you could talk to anybody from 80s wrestling, I know you've answered this before, but for my listeners who don't know, who is somebody who you'd love to talk to on your podcast and see if it was a great flow or not?
Well, just before I answer that, you said this is Tom Zing. I stole the Z-Man from him because I remember I legitimately lifted it because I remember – somebody called me that in high school one time, and I watch wrestling, and there's this Z-Man. And then there was a thing going around. Everyone had, like, a nickname, so I gave myself the Z-Man as a joke because my last name's Zumok. But I took it from Tom Zink. I stole it. So,
well, I mean, call it stealing, but you could also call it a hat tip to him as well. If you think of it, because, you know, your favorite blockhead – you know that I'm not using Charlie Brown, but I'm referring to Charlie Brown the Peanuts. So I can't use that trademark. But think of it as a hat tip. But still, we watched the same stuff growing up. But, yeah, I didn't go back and cover Tom Zink, but I love that you follow the same guy. But is there anybody in mind that you would love to have on your show that, like, is maybe one of those stars that you want to reach?
Well, the ultimate would have been Rowdy Roddy Piper because he was my comedic influence. And
God rest his soul.
I was this close to meeting him. And actually doing a gig because he started to do stand-up. And a friend of mine, Brad Thacker, was putting a show together and asked if I would be interested in being on the show. I'm like, yeah, with my idol, of course. And unfortunately, he passed. But in the weird turn of events of stand-up comedy, he did a podcast. It was called Piper's Pit.
Yes.
With Earl Skakel, who is a comic out of L.A., and I became really good friends with him. So Earl and I are, like, legit friends, and we talk about old Roddy stories all the time and how great he was. So he would have been the guy. He's the guy I would love to. And I just watched what's the thing on Vice, the wrestling show, the Behind the Mat or
Beyond the Mat. I mean, that was a documentary.
The Dark, what was it?
Oh, Dark, like, Side of the Ring. Yeah, sorry. Dark
yeah
Side of
the Ring. Yeah, I just watched the one on the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. And I was a huge Road Warriors guy growing up. Like, Animal and Hawk were the greatest tag team of all time to this day. And there's a thing called the Road Warriors pop. And that's when you come out, it's the loudest reaction you can get. And they still refer to it as the Road Warriors pop. If somebody comes out and you get a great reaction, he's like, dude, I got a Road Warriors pop. So I'd like to talk to them. But one of them's dead, I think Hawk. So Animal's still around. Sure.
Thank you so much, Blockhead Nation, for sticking with me this far. But don't forget, when you get to the end of this podcast, now that you've made it midway, make sure you go and check out my friends over at Southern Fried Philosophy. Guys, every week, Biggin and Mojo, two Southern guys, are bringing you a podcast that takes on life, liberty, and the pursuit of gravy. Make sure you go click my link for Southern Fried Philosophy. You can go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, or you can go to southernfriedphilosophy.com and find out every week about how Southern you truly are. That's Southern Fried Philosophy. Go to their podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe, and listen to them every week. You will not regret tuning in to the Southern Fried Philosophy podcast. Yeah, Animal will still be around. Yeah, Blockhead learns something new every day. It's just one of those, you know, my guilty pleasure for the last several years, ever since I got into MMA, I started following that one quite frequently and then fell off with wrestling. But I have to admit, one of my guilty pleasures is watching the Shoot documentaries. And as the ones I've seen of the Dark Side of the Ring have been really good, including the Montreal Screwjob. So that means I got to go back and do my homework on the Road Warriors now that that's on there.
But that was the last episode.
See, that's going to help me get caught up a little bit. So all that being said, now that we've gotten you to recent episodes, as I understand it, this is for other podcasters that are listening that need a little extra help. You've actually done pretty well with your Patreon account, and yours truly hasn't done a great job with it. But that's also I'm wondering if you have some tips for other listeners here that are want to start a podcast that want to use Patreon. What has that done for you so far in your journey lately?
Well, I can't live off the Patreon by itself. The goal right. would – that's the goal. Again, like I said about the podcast in general, just being persistent and consistent. And, you know, I brought in the Patreon. I think out of the gate I had like maybe 18 Patreons. And then it just slowly built. And if anything's helped me, it's the quarantine. It's the – I should thank the coronavirus because – I put up the podcast early and people wanted to hear it early. And then I put up bonus episodes and next thing you know, it's bigger and bigger each week. Month of April was amazing, but I really thank the quarantine.
Same thing on my end, because all of a sudden the guests keep pouring in because all of us have the time now, sure. But that is a good point about doing bonus episodes on Patreon. That's not a bad move for anybody that's listening to this one. That's just helpful advice since I like to educate and entertain on there.
Sure.
Well, that makes sense. I definitely just want to make sure I got that out there. But, of course, really wanted to dedicate some time to for what you want to share. This is also, again, for listeners who don't know, Brody Stevens, rest his soul, that has been a big part of your life. What can the Blockhead Nation gain from his life, from his comedy with you, but also just experiences you had with him? Let's have a little chance to honor Brody.
You know, what's funny is you're in Texas. That was the last gig I ever did with Brody was in Texas. We were at, we did San Antonio, Austin, Houston, somewhere else. I forgot. But we did like a mini tour. It was a lot of fun to do like road gigs. It was me, Jim Florentine, Sam Tripley. And it was like old school comedy. We're like, we rented a car. We got Airbnbs. We're going to gig. Every gig was sold out. So yeah, it was a really cool time. Just that was my last gig, but no, Brody's one of the most creative. There's not a voice like him. If you go, he's definitely an acquired taste, but I mean, just a unique performer that we'll never see a guy like him again. It was indeed. Just a once in a lifetime guy. And I remember, I always tell this story. I started in LA as an open micer and I got some heat real quick and I was getting on stages that I should not have been on. And I remember I got booked at this big show and Brody was on it. It was like 2005. And I was kind of nervous and he watched my whole set and I never met him. And that evening he sent me a MySpace message just to date myself. But he took the time to find out who my name, you know, who I was. And I didn't do well. And he told me, hey man, great set tonight. Keep it up. But he went out of his way to find out who I was. And it meant a lot at the time. And we became friends. And the cool thing about Brody is he was friends with everybody. I went to his memorial. You had everyone from Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, to the dishwasher at the Ha Ha Cafe. That's how many people, everyone loved Brody, everybody. And he didn't like, he would treat Bradley Cooper like he would treat the dishwasher at the Ha Ha Cafe. And that's why he was so beloved and he's sorely missed. And I try to honor him any chance I get or talk about him as much as I can. Cause you know, when we die, it's like, it's about your legacy and what you pass on. And the irony is Brody always wanted to be famous. And he got famous when he died. He was the number one trending thing on Twitter. And I go, no one would have loved this more than Brody.
That's definitely why I wanted to make sure that we honored him towards the end. Yeah, normally I do my takeaways at the end, but I switched to this time just because I believe that you tied it in nicely there, just to say that there's a consistency to what you do, to do what you love, but honor those that that encourage you and that are a big part of your life. So we definitely wanted to honor Brody Stevens in this segment. So
huge influence of mine.
Definitely. So Z-Man, other than that, and a couple other things just came to my head here. I don't want to wrap you up just yet, just because I haven't had a chance to ask you. I say that this
– You don't
this
mind me eating.
Dude, I don't mind it at all. Okay. When you talk about on my show being a Peanuts fan, that means that I'm going to ask you about if there are any particular comics or particular comic strips or something that is just any type of superhero, whatever, that might have been influential in your – I know you spend a lot of time in comedy – but is there something along that line, just in case you were into it? My buddy Kevin is huge into Calvin and Hobbes. I'm sure he and I can debate about Peanuts and Calvin and Hobbes for days. Is there something that you cherish from your childhood in that category?
I will say this. The Peanuts theme song is one of the greatest songs ever composed.
Mm-hmm. Vince Guaraldi.
I love the Peanuts theme song. Yeah, it's phenomenal theme song. I really wasn't a comics kid. It was like, I remember collecting comics for like 6 months when I was a kid. And I loved Spider-Man and Batman. I don't know. I think they overdid it with all the comic book movies. For me, I just lost interest.
Yeah, it was definitely overkill on that one.
Overkill. And I thought, in my mind, I thought it was a mic drop when Christopher Nolan did The Dark Knight. I thought that was like, you can't do any better than that.
Absolutely. And,
I guess they're making another Batman too, from what I hear. But I wasn't really a big comic guy.
No, I mean, it's just kind of one of those, when I bring guys on, there's always that chance for you to share it if you got one. Are there any particular sports that you're sitting waiting anxiously to start up again, whether it's baseball or, you know, hockey, or if there happens to be, you know, MMA is back at this point. But is there some particular sport that you're just itching to watch again when this thing passes?
Well, you know, it's the funniest thing is – sorry, I'm all over the place. But
you're fine.
The funniest – I'm glad MMA is back because they're going to set the tone on – for the other sports. And
agreed.
I have a friend who's an MMA, Jessica Evil Eye.
Oh, Jessica. You're friends with Jessica? Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very good friends with her. And Stipe from Cleveland. I know Stipe, yes, too. So I'm happy for them, and I hope they paved the way and other things will start to fall into place. The irony of this whole coronavirus shutdown is the 10-part docuseries on Sundays, The Last Dance with Jordan, made me fall in love with basketball again because I was huge basketball fan growing up. Still am. I don't like today's NBA as much as I used to, but it made me remember why I loved basketball. And it's funny, like a team from 20 years ago is like, and I know how it ends. I'm still waiting every Sunday to watch. Like it's like game 7 of the NBA finals. I was like, I know who wins.
Right.
But it's been fun to get away and watch that.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's tuning into that, but I have to agree with you on MMA is setting the standards, but also since Stipe is a friend of yours, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. You followed his career. I'm so sick of people talking about how he is like, quote, ducking Daniel Cormier. I'm like, no, this guy is a firefighter. He's out there fighting the real fight. Don't tell me that. And if he doesn't have a train camp to get to, this isn't something that's his fault. So I don't want to sit here and listen to people. When the time comes, you know, we know that Nagano is going to work, whether he fights Daniel Cormier or Stipe. That's fine. If Daniel wants to have his last go around with Nagano, go ahead and do it. But don't tell me that Stipe is in any way ducking the fight. Even Dana White never said anything about that. But that's just, you know, people on the internet saying what they want to hear. And I'm going, man, talk to me when you are a first responder living the life that Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champion of the world, is living. So I had to get that out there.
No, he's an actual firefighter, and during this pandemic, he's been working.
Yes, like, exactly.
He's legitimately like out there doing things that you know, people don't want to do, and I think the MMA should have really marketed him better. He could have been like a huge, you know, even though he was champion at one point, but he could have been way bigger because of his background.
Absolutely.
Like he's an everyday dude. He's like a great dude, just a hard worker. Like, they could have gave it some sort of Rocky marketing behind it.
You have no idea. I totally agree with you on that one, that they missed the train on that one, that they could have been on the Stipe train. Could have been so much more than it is. But, you know, again, I'm not sure what invisible hand is working in that department. Well, Z-Man, I really appreciate your time, bud, but I will ask you this. When I have guests come on, I ask them if there is one thing that listeners can take from you that you would want them to know. If they heard nothing else from you, they're not a comedy fan, they're not a podcast fan, they're not even a pro wrestling fan, is there something that you'd like to give out there? I assume one of them is a shout-out to your dear friend Brody. If there's anything else they didn't hear from you today, what's something you'd want to be a takeaway for the Blockhead Nation from the Z-Man today?
No, I appreciate you having me on. I don't think of myself as anything, so I don't, my whole life, I've never really had a real job. I've always managed to just do what I wanted to do. I never really followed a trend in high school, I was well-liked. I just never really wanted to be, there's some people that want to be famous. And as I get older and I see a lot of the injustices and I like the people that like what I do, and that's it. And whether it's four people or 100, I don't give it. I don't just do what you want to do, I guess, the takeaway.
Z-Man, again, appreciate you so much for coming on today, bud. I hope you're having a relaxing day. But this is a chance for you to plug yourself, bud, just for those who are on the Blockhead Nation that want to go check you out, which you will be promoted on your favorite blockhead.com/blog. All your links will be there. Just whatever you want to share social media-wise and the websites and the Patreon, go for it, my friend.
Just go to dangcook.com. And for it's just my name.
Yeah.
Follow me on all social media, Instagram, Chad Zumlock. Thank you for having me, though.
You're very welcome. I wasn't ready for that knuckleball that you just threw me, but I'll take it. You know, I'm sorry, Chad Zumlock. It's all going to be here. Everything from the podcast, the social medias, from Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, they're all going to be here that are on there. Again, you guys go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Y'all know where to go that follow my show, and I'm going to continue to point you in that direction so you can check out the links. You can go support his Patreon, go support his podcast, go support his career. Either way, Zumlock now is part of the Blockhead Nation, which is not a hard application process. But I still thank you so much for your time, Chad, and I will let you continue on with your day, sir.
Love you, brother. I got to go to the bathroom.
You betcha. On that note, that we will see you guys again next Saturday, same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.